For our brief devotion time, I just want to reflect on the subject of four motivations for prayer. You know, when you really think of it, what a tremendous privilege is ours to be able to come boldly before the throne of grace. And our Lord is always there. He's prepared to listen. Happily married couples talk about pillow talk. And they talk about being able to share their hearts with one another. And however wonderful that may be, just think of the fact that we can come to the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings in prayer. And he's there 24/7 for us. Try that with your doctor or your specialist or your insurance carrier. Thank the Lord that we can come boldly before the throne of grace. Let me give you four motivations for prayer very, very quickly from God's word so that we can indeed go before our Lord with the requests that we have. The first motivation for prayer that I would like to share with you is that prayer brings us closer to God. Prayer brings us closer to God. Take your Bibles in Isaiah chapter 55, that wonderful scripture. It says in verse 6, Isaiah 55 and verse 6, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord." Then it goes on to say, "He will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." Prayer brings us closer to God. Isn't it easily understood that whenever we stray away from the Lord, what is the first thing that begins to be depleted? Our time in the Word, where God speaks to us, and our time in prayer. But we understand that prayer brings us closer to God as we commit unto Him our needs. Secondly, I want you to notice that not only does prayer bring us closer to God, but prayer protects us. Prayer protects us. In Psalm chapter 5 and verse 11, if you'll turn there, Psalm chapter 5, verse 11, the Word of God says, "Let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy, because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee." Notice the promise, "For thou, Lord, wilt bless the righteous with favor, and wilt thou compass him as with a shield." Oh, we need to learn to trust in the Lord. In Psalm 61 and verse 2, the psalmist said, "From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I." Psalm 61 and verse 2. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. And when we're overwhelmed and we feel like we're being overtaken by the cares of this world, oh, how wonderful it is to go to our sweet Lord in prayer. And he lifts us and puts us upon the solid rock, the Lord Jesus Christ. So looking at the four motivations for prayer, the first motivation is that prayer brings us closer to God. Secondly, prayer protects. But now, turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. for the third characteristic of motivation in prayer, and that is that prayer heals. Prayer heals. Word of God says, 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sins, and will heal their land. Oh, our country needs healing. Our homes in America need healing. I've just involved in a couple of counseling sessions today in which it was accentuated the importance of being raised in a godly home where there was mutual commitment between parents, and how that we're seeing today a generation that has risen up where there has not been that home establishment. And oh, what a pity it is. America needs healing from the top to the bottom. But then also, prayer heals in an individual setting as well. In the book of James, chapter 5 and verse 14, notice what the Word of God says. Is any among you afflicted? The word there translated afflicted means suffering in general. It might be physical, it could be spiritual, could be mental or financial. It's a general term for suffering. We should pray. Is any merry? Let them sing psalms. Is any sick among you? And there the word means without strength. It has the idea of physically sick. Is any sick among you? Notice what it says. Let him, that's the sick one, call for the elders of the church. The New Testament biblical model is a plurality of elders for the local church. And the elders are to come to that person's home where he has been requested. And it says, let them. Who are the them? The them are the elders. Let the elders of the church pray over him, anointing him with oil. And the idea is that having anointed him, then pray over him. The oil does not heal. There's nothing mystical or magical about oil. I agree with old Dr. Lehman Strauss when he said, God can heal oil or no oil. But the point is, the oil is illustrative of the Holy Spirit and his ability to bring healing. And of course, in the Old Testament, anointing with oil was a picture of God's blessing and ministry over the one that was the recipient. And notice what it says, the prayer of faith. Who's praying? It's the elders that are praying. It's the faith of the elders shall save the sick. But we're going to notice that there's also a parallel condition, and that is this, that if the sick one has committed sins and he confesses them, then healing will take place. And evidence that the sickness was caused by sin is that when the sin is confessed, the healing takes place. And there are times when physical illness can be caused by willful persistence in sin. That's why at the Lord's table, you recall 1 Corinthians 11, for this cause many of you were weak and sickly and some sleep. Now, not all sickness is caused by sin. We know that from the comprehensive study of God's Word. But that should always be a consideration in the life of a believer that knows and trusts the Lord. The principle of self-examination. So here you have a case where there may be an individual who has sin in his life, and he, upon the elders coming, will confess that to a brother? This is not a Roman Catholic confessional by any means at all, but it is doing what verse 16 says. Confess your faults, literally sins, one to another. Pray for one another that you may be healed. There's a value in a person in the local church sharing with the elders of the church. There's a benefit of having elders that love the people in the flock, that will pray with them when there are areas of sin that need to be confessed. And in the case where there may be sickness caused by sin, then obviously the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And that, of course, is made effectual by the hand of God, simply because he is the one that is able to bring about healing. So prayer, number one, brings you closer to God. Isaiah 55, verses 6 and 7. Prayer protects. Psalm 5, 11 and 12. Prayer heals. We saw that in 2 Chronicles 7:14 and James 5:14. But then finally, I'd like to show you the fourth motivation for prayer, and that is that prayer brings spiritual breakthroughs in our life. The Bible says in Jeremiah 33:3, call upon me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Spiritual breakthroughs, and God is able to do far and above that which we ask or think. And then let me just take you to one last scripture on that fourth point, and that is regarding prayer bringing spiritual breakthroughs in Matthew 18 and verse 19. Matthew 18, 19. Again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth, as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Isn't that an encouragement to us tonight? Here it talks about two, just two. And I like that contrast, just two people, and then he says, on earth. Wow, you know, that's a pretty big landmass. Two people. On earth, God can control all things with the faith of two people gathered together. And I think that we outnumber that requirement, don't we, tonight? And isn't it wonderful that we have a God who answers prayer, and we can have that motivation towards prayer. Let's ask the Lord's blessing. Father, we thank you that we can come boldly before your throne of grace. Thank you for the privilege of prayer and the power of prayer. And Lord, we come before you now, and as we lift up these requests, Lord, heavy upon our hearts, we think of that promise, two of you on earth. Lord, every one of our requests have to do with something or some circumstance on the earth. And we may be praying for soldiers, family members on the other side of the earth, and that does not mean that your hand is slack, that it cannot answer. So, Lord, as we have big requests, we have a bigger God. Help us, Lord, to have faith in you and to come and utilize, Lord, this great privilege. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.